Some of you will remember a TV show from a few years ago. It was Dawn's and my favorite show for a while. It was called The West Wing. It was a story of a president of the United States and his cabinet and all of the things that went on in the decision-making and the challenges of their world. There's one character who was a minor character, but in this program was shown to be extremely important in the life of the president, and that was his secretary. His secretary was this lady who kept the calendar of his appointments every day. She was the gatekeeper of who was allowed to get in and see the President of the United States and who wasn't. And if she said yes, you got in, and if she said no, you didn't get in, she was extraordinarily important because she was the president's gatekeeper. Well, that's what the disciples are doing this morning as we look in on them as they are traveling with Jesus. They've come down now through Galilee, and they've crossed over the Jordan River, and they're in Judea now. And on this particular day, the disciples are just doing their job, at least as they perceive it. They are the self-appointed gatekeepers of Jesus. And what that means is that they are determining who gets through to see him and who doesn't. After all, Jesus is too important to be bothered by insignificant things. Not every peddler that comes along should be allowed to get in and see Jesus, and not every person with some new agenda should be allowed to get in and talk with Jesus. The disciples are the self-appointed gatekeepers, and certainly some snotty-nosed little kids shouldn't be able to get in and see Jesus. And anxious adults who are worried about the snotty-nosed little kids shouldn't be allowed to get in and talk to Jesus. So the disciples are just doing their job. On this particular occasion, they're stopping the adults, and they're saying, now hold on a minute. You guys are not on the schedule to meet with Jesus today. We have set up the calendar. At 1:30, Jesus is meeting with somebody to do some fundraising. We've set up somebody at 3 o'clock to a few guys to come together with Jesus as part of the executive committee. We've got a little bit of time at about 4 p.m. for blind Bartimaeus. He's been so persistent. But we're only giving 15 minutes to that. Jesus is just too busy for you people. You're just going to need to stop right where you are. Jesus didn't have time for all of these different people. You see, the disciples of Jesus have a vision. They have a great big vision of what God is doing in their lives and in their world, and they have a big, big, big vision. They have a vision of a robust Israel, their nation being the great nation of all of the nations in the world once again. They have a vision of Israel no longer being a little fly on the shoulder of the Roman Empire. It'll be the other way around one day. They're just sure of it. The Roman Empire will be a little fly on the shoulder of Israel. They have a great big vision about what God wants to do in them and with them and through them. And they understand that what Jesus needs on his team is some mobilizers. He needs some of the intelligentsia on his team. Jesus needs some organizers to be part of his committee. They understand that Jesus needs some people who understand how to impose their wills on the top of other people. They understand Jesus needs movers and shakers and not snotty-nosed little kids. Their vision is too big for that. And so they're a little surprised this morning as they've stopped the adults who are bringing the children to Jesus. So confident that they're doing the right thing, and Jesus is indignant with them. And for those of you who are from Wyoming, indignant means unhappy, mad, frustrated. He's frustrated. He's been through this with them how many times? And Jesus says, don't hinder the kids from coming to me, because the kingdom of God belongs to people who are like them. Whoever won't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Don't you just almost feel sorry for these disciples? How many times will it take for they realize that their values are not his values? Their vision is not his vision. For crying out loud, it is though they're a bunch of backwoods New York Yankees fans. We're gathered here this morning for a service of worship. I think that you knew that. We're gathered here together this morning as a church that is gathered in the name of Jesus, the one about whom we're speaking, for this service of worship. And our theme during our service of worship, as it has been for the last several weeks, and it will be for a while longer, is the theme of hospitality, the radical hospitality of Jesus that he has practiced toward them and us, and the radical hospitality toward which he calls us. And you may not have thought about it this morning as you were coming into this sanctuary, but you and I are gatekeepers this morning. We decide what we're going to be host to and what we're not. We're deciding what values we're going to welcome and receive and what values we're going to stop at the door. You see, to welcome a value is to say no to another one. To welcome love is to say no to injustice. We are gatekeepers this morning. All of us are. We are individually gatekeepers, and we are gatekeepers of the church, the gathered community. We are welcoming, and we are stopping, and we are standing at the gate, and we are opening the doors to some values and people, and we are closing the doors to other values and people. It is just a fact of our lives. It is not true just of us. I think everybody on the planet this morning is a gatekeeper. They are deciding what to open the gates to and what to close the gates to, often unconsciously, but still opening and closing all of the time, all of the days of our lives. Nobody ever decided, I don't think, to become a bitter person. I don't think anybody ever woke up one day and thought, gee, what I want to do with my life is I want to become more bitter today. I don't think there's anybody in the sixth grade when we wrote those essays for our teacher about what we wanted to be when we grew up. I don't think there's anybody in the sixth grade who said, whoo, when I grew up, I want to be a bitter and angry and resentful old man or old woman. And yet, as gatekeepers of the daily values of our lives, we open the gates to some things and we close the gates to others. And over the course of our lives, like sand being built up on a seashore, day by day, bit by bit, the things that we open the gates to and close the gates to build up more and more and more and more, so that one of the great influences on the people that we will become one day is the gatekeeping and the gate closing that we have done on the previous days. And to the extent that you spend your days opening the gates to bitterness, reacting to people with rage, giving in to the reactivity of the environment around you, over the course of your life, those layers of sand build higher and higher and higher, and then there is a day when you realize, whew, I don't even know how this happened, but I'm a very angry and bitter person. I don't think anybody ever decided one day that they want to be an impulsive person with no self-discipline, just sort of giving in to every urge of their bodies and every urge of their minds. I don't think anybody decided that, but over the course of time, we are gatekeepers that open the gates to giving in to this impulse and giving in to that one and giving in to this and giving in to that, until one day we are so chaotic that anybody looking in at us would say, wow, whatever happened to self-discipline with old Steve? And we are gatekeepers as a body, as a church. We are a gathered community this morning. That's really important for us to keep in mind. We are a gathered community. We're not here today for little one-on-one sessions with Jesus. He made it clear that his intention was to create a body, a community of faith, people whose lives are better because of the resources that are in this community of faith than if we were not a part of it. We are gathered together as a church, and churches are gatekeepers, what we allow in, what we choose not to allow in. I have never, ever in my life heard of a church that decided not to welcome God. Never. Never heard of a church that hung up a sign over the door of the church that said, most everybody is welcome here except God. God's not welcome here. I've wondered a couple of times if maybe some churches have put up a sign that said, the Holy Spirit is not welcome here. But that's another matter altogether. I've never known of anybody that's hung up a sign that says, all welcome here except God. I've never known of a church that has decided that it will welcome all of the values against which God is resisting, and it will close its doors to all of those things that God is welcoming. I've never known. Except I do know that communities of faith can fall asleep at the wheel. They can forget what they're about. They can be going on doing their business. And before they know it, it is as though the purpose of the gathering is to survive. And it's not to be about the things that Jesus said be about. Love God, love your neighbor, love your enemy, pray for those who persecute you, have fellowship with one another, preach the good news. Instead, it is though the mission, the gate is opened to survival and closed to mission. I actually heard about a church a number of years ago that was physically across the street from a children's home. This church was physically across the street from what we used to call an orphanage. And these children would come out, children up through the teen years would come out every day, and they would play and they would do the things that they did out in the field. And some of the things that these kids did became a little bit troubling to some of the church members. They would come out and they would smoke cigarettes and they would laugh a little bit too loud and they would shout names at one another and they would use vulgar language to one another. And the leaders of this church got together and said, "What are we going to do? Our worship isn't comfortable when the windows of our buildings are open and we hear kids swearing from across the street. We can't have that." And so this church decided to build a wall between themselves and the children's home across the street that would be a sound barrier that would limit the voices of the kids coming across the street. Gatekeepers. Deciding what is welcome in and what is not. Well, the thing about these disciples of Jesus, these 12 or however many are with him, there was a larger circle, of course, that traveled with Jesus very often, men and women. The thing about these disciples of Jesus is they've decided to open the gates to values and vision that are not true to Jesus, and values and vision that are true to the world in which they live. Kids, stay away. Parents, needy parents, stay away from the master. He doesn't have time for that unimportant stuff. He needs to spend his time with the important people. The thing about these disciples is they've opened the gates to all of the wrong things and played host to all of the wrong things, and they didn't expect this. They did not expect Jesus to say, "Let the children come, for heaven's sakes. For crying out loud, don't hinder the little ones." They did not expect him to say, "The kingdom of God belongs to such as them." And they certainly didn't expect him to say, "Unless you welcome and receive and play host to the reign of God as one of these children, you will never enter into it." They didn't expect that. Now, I want to be real careful this morning. I don't want you to confuse this story that we're walking through this morning with one that we looked at a few weeks ago. It's very important that you not conflate these two stories. You remember a couple of weeks ago, we told a story about how Jesus was in a home and he was teaching his disciples. And as a teaching moment, he took a child and he stood the child in their midst. And at the end of this teaching moment, he said, "Whoever receives one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the Father who sent me." You remember that story? In this story, Jesus is not talking about welcoming the children. That was that day, important message. This day, Jesus is not speaking to his disciples using this teachable moment about welcoming the children. Jesus is speaking on this particular morning about that which children welcome. Whoever receives the kingdom like one of these little children will surely enter it. Unless you become like one of them in the ways that they welcome the kingdom of God, you will never enter into it. Jesus isn't speaking about welcoming the kids today. Jesus is speaking about that which children welcome. And he's speaking about, understand, he's speaking about the kingdom. Jesus is speaking about welcoming God, who is always a verb. Do you understand? God always comes to us as a verb, acting, working, doing something. God comes among us working to make renewal. God comes among us working to set relationships right. God works among us to help us to forgive and to experience forgiveness. God always comes to us as a verb, acting, working, doing. The kingdom of God is God's work in the world to make our world new again. And Jesus is saying, unless you welcome the kingdom like a child, welcome it, you will never enter it. He's inviting the disciples to welcome God. Question: How do children welcome? How do children welcome the reign of love? Well, they set up a committee. They set up five other committees to make sure that the first committee doesn't get it wrong. They memorize the bylaws of the church because, as we all know, God can't act outside of the bylaws of the church. They memorize the order of worship because we all know the Holy Spirit can't work outside of the order of worship. They get all of their people. No. How do children enter the realm of love? How do they welcome the kingdom? Well, they just do. They trust it. They give themselves to it. They don't find it necessary to justify themselves in any other way. Love, grace, is enough. The kids are lined up now. They're all lined up in a line. Jesus is in the front and the center of the gathering. The disciples, the gatekeepers, have finally stepped aside. The adults are walking with the children. They're lined up like they were lined up at our carnival here several weeks ago, waiting to get on the bouncy games. They're all lined up, ready to go. And one by one, they come up to Jesus, and he leans down, and he picks them up. The Gospel of Mark says, he picks them up, he wraps his arms around them. This is what the Gospel of Mark says. Jesus wraps his arms around them, and he blesses everyone. I suspect by name, he blesses every one of these. What did these children do to enter into the arms of Jesus? Well, they let themselves be picked up. We have in our congregation a couple of families who are pregnant for the first time. A couple that I know of, by the way. There may be others. I won't mention any of their names because I wouldn't want to embarrass any of them publicly, but I happen to know of a couple of families that are getting ready to welcome a child into their home for the very first time. I don't know about the others of you here who are parents. There is something unique about the first time. It's not better, but it's different because the second time and the third time in our experience, or if you're the Stacks, the fourth, the fifth, the 12th, how many are there? The second and the third time, at least in our experience, I think Dawn and I had an idea of what to expect. We had learned by then how much you love your child. But the first time around, we didn't really know. And Dawn was glowing, and I'm sure I was glowing as we anticipated that day as it got closer and closer. And when the very first time I held my daughter in my arms, I was simply overwhelmed. I didn't know I could love this way. I understood the second and third time, and so pretty soon a couple of couples in our church are going to have this privilege. And Ben, do you suppose that's true? Just wondering. I was just curious. Question: what do newborn children have to do to enter into the realm of their parents' love? Well, they trust it. They just welcome it. They enter, and that's where they live. We have some families in our church who have adopted. They have opened their homes. They have extended the hospitality of their homes to children who were born to other parents. What did their adopted children have to do to enter into the realm of the love of their adopting parents? Well, they trusted it. They entered it, and they welcomed it. And it's only as we become, quote-unquote, grown-ups that we find that we need to justify our lives in other ways. It's only as we become, quote-unquote, mature people that we find that we need to compete with one another. And in order to be a secure person, I have to be better than other people. And I have to be faster and smarter. And I have to stand out and be noticed. And people have to appreciate me. It's only as we become, quote-unquote, mature that we find that we have to justify our lives in these other ways. But for children, born into reasonably functional families. It ain't so. And Jesus says, whoever receives the kingdom like one of these children enters it. You see, we are gatekeepers this morning. We are gatekeepers. And the word of the gospel invites us to open the gates broadly to the reign of God. It opens us, it invites us to welcome as hosts the realm of God as broadly as our arms and our hearts are capable of going. This is the realm of love. This is the realm of God acting on our behalf in love. We know this because this realm is embodied by Jesus himself. The cross is our reminder. This is the realm of love. Open the gates wide. And to open the gates wide, the realm wide to the gates of the kingdom of God, to the realm of God's love, is also to be a gatekeeper to who welcomes everything and everyone that Jesus welcomes, and who closes the gates to everything that Jesus does not welcome. And so we open the gates broadly to one another, and we open the gates broadly to those who are perhaps not recognized by the rest of the world. And we open our arms broadly to love, and we open our arms broadly to forgiveness, and we close the gates to injustice, and we close the gates to uncaring, and we close the gates to unmercy, because we're welcoming the kingdom. I mentioned to you earlier this morning that we're going to be doing a baptism here in just a few minutes. After the second service, Angel Schmidt is going to be baptized this morning. What she's going to be symbolically acting out this morning is so profoundly simple. By the way, friends, the Christian gospel is not complicated. It's not complicated. I think living it out authentically is rare in our world, speaking broadly, but it's not complicated. It is a person who has died to all of the gatekeeping decisions that they made previously. It is marking out their intention. I'm not going to live any longer as the person who opened the gates to all the wrong stuff and closed them to the kingdom of God. I am from this day forward living as one who has died to that and has been raised to a life of being a gatekeeper that opens the gates broadly to the coming of God. Welcome. And to the doing of God's will on earth as it is in heaven. It is that simple. It is really living in that intention, moment by moment, day by day, for the rest of our lives. Yes to the kingdom, and no to what is not the kingdom. It is really that simple. But it is really as extraordinarily important as affirming that in every moment, every day, remembering that we are baptized, remembering that we have died to the gatekeeping that we once did, and that we are now living with our gates broadly open, remembering our baptism. I think it was two Sundays after Easter, if I remember correctly. I'm not sure. I was seated right over here in the front row during the first service, and my friend Matthew was seated right next to me. 2 weeks earlier, Matthew and Richard and Dawn and a host of other people had been baptized on Easter Sunday, doing the very thing that I'm talking about this morning. And on this particular Sunday, 2 weeks afterward, I was seated over here, and Matthew was trying to tell me something. And he said, you. And I said, yes. And he pointed up here to the platform, and he did this. And I thought Matthew was telling me that he thought that I should come up and lead music. And I said, there are some things that should never happen. And he said, no, you. And he pointed up to the front again. And he went like this. And I realized that he was pointing at the baptistry. And I realized that what Matthew was doing was remembering his baptism. You see, that's who we are. And that is what we are called to be. All the time, every day. It's not complicated, but it's rare. People who live as those who remember that we have died to the gatekeeping decisions that we once made, letting in all of the things that are not God, and living as people who are now the gatekeepers to the kingdom that is breaking out in our midst by love. And friends, how do you enter the kingdom? Well, you just do. Would you pray with me, please?